Well, good day to you. It's Joel with For King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
We need to be clear with ourselves on our limitations and not feel ashamed, because then we can actually love people in those difficult times that sometimes the holidays bring up.
You're listening to Chiseled and Called with Brittany Dawn, a podcast about finding freedom in imperfection and peace in your broken pieces through Jesus. Our prayer is that today's message will bless you, embolden you, and fix your gaze on the King, that it will stir up the calling God has placed within you. Without further ado, here's your host, Brittany Dawn.
Welcome to the Chiseled and Called podcast. I am your host, Brittany Dawn, and today's episode is very timely with the holidays right around the corner. Today, I have Courtney Berg to share about boundaries during the holidays, which is something we could all use a little more of. We've all been there before, that one person who just really knows how to push your buttons, and they do it at the most inopportune times, Thanksgiving dinner or Christmas. Courtney shares a biblical perspective today on what boundaries look like as a Christian. So without further ado, let's hop in. Welcome to the podcast, Courtney. How are you doing today?
I am great. I was just putting some groceries away. It's always nice to have groceries in the house.
Yes. Amen. It's a blessing. Well, I'm so excited about today's episode and just really diving into boundaries, and with the holidays coming up, that's, you know, it's just one of those topics. There's always tension in family dynamics for the most part anyways. And so I think this is going to be really applicable to myself and to everyone listening. But before we do dive in, can you tell everyone that's listening a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I'm a wife. I'm a mom. We live in South Florida. I'm actually back in school getting my master's, which is exciting and fun and hard and all the things. I'm a writer. So my book is coming out in December.
That's amazing.
Those are all my hats, I think.
You're wearing so many hats. That's amazing. Like, talk about checklist. And then you just throw getting your master's on top of that. And I'm like, okay, she's really like, you're one of those like go-getters. And I love that. Well, the holidays are coming up, like I mentioned. And I know from personal experiences and from people around me, it can kind of always, you know, you're seeing family members that you haven't seen in a long time, sometimes even that you haven't seen in years, and there's drama and there's toxicity and there's just that awkward tension. And I think as Christians, we can sometimes struggle with, is it okay to set boundaries? Is it okay to love people from a distance? You know, is that Christ-like? Is that loving them like Jesus has asked us to love them? And so I would love for you to dive into that a little bit and just maybe talk about, is it okay to feel these things and just kind of validate? Because I didn't understand that it was okay to have boundaries until years of therapy. And I was like, oh, this is actually a good thing, especially in situations that could lead to arguments, disagreements, you crying, you know, on Thanksgiving or on Christmas, like that's just no fun. And so, yeah, I would love to hear your take on all of that.
Sure. Yeah. I can totally relate to not thinking boundaries were from God. I grew up Catholic, and I heard very early on to, you know, honor my mother and father. And then as I got a little bit older and started developing friendships and I got married, I still was like, I thought that loving people meant sacrificing everything that I had and, you know, all of who I was. And yeah, it wasn't until about 10 years ago did I stumble across this concept of codependency and boundaries. And the setting in which I learned about it was not a Christian setting. But since I've discovered reading my Bible and, you know, working with a Christian therapist myself, that boundaries are very biblical. And I think they get a bad rap because it's not the boundary that is wrong, but it's the way the person maybe goes about doing it, or maybe their motivation behind it that is wrong. And I think people can get hurt by boundaries. And so sometimes Christian women in particular, we're kind of conditioned to believe that, you know, we're the nurturer, we're the lover, we're the person that shows up and mends all the you know, the boo-boos. And somewhere that gets lost. We're like, well, how does this fit? Like, how am I supposed to honor God in this? And that's where boundaries for me really came in. It's a huge part of my story that, you know, I'm only honoring God and able to, you know, be the woman he's called me to be in my relationships through the provisions and the protection of boundaries. And so wow. If you are to look at scripture, we see it through, you know, Genesis all the way through Revelation that God has, you know, extended both his love and his limits partnered.
Yeah.
You know, it's, yeah. You can't get very far learning about the attributes of God and his love for us. And then there's like, and this is the parameters that I'm setting before you.
Wow. And that's so beautiful.
I think in the secular world now, we really think that love means, you know, we just do everything for everybody and we're sacrificial in like this worldly way. But that's where we don't see fruits of the spirit. We see anxiety, we see fear, we see disconnection, we see distrust. Yeah. And that's not from God, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. You said two things that I absolutely loved. You kind of briefly mentioned codependency, which I think would be a really good thing to discuss here in a second. But then you also talked about how you love people better when you have boundaries. And I've noticed that in my own life, when I started implementing boundaries, that I felt like, oh, the Lord has given me permission to do this. And all of a sudden you're honoring those boundaries. And because of that, you're honoring that person and you're honoring God. Whereas when you don't have boundaries, you're suddenly in a situation where you're triggered, you're mad, you're yelling, you're crying, and you're not honoring anyone. You're not honoring the Lord. You're not honoring that person. And so I love that you said that. That's so, I've never heard it put like that. That's beautiful. But with codependency, that is something that I didn't even realize what it was until about three or four years ago. And it was something that the Lord delivered me of because I had codependency. I've been in abusive relationships, toxic relationships. We've all been there, right? Like we've all been in some kind of toxic something. And it just kind of programmed me from a young age to have that codependent desire. And so could you maybe briefly explain what codependency is and how someone can break free from that? If that's even, I mean, our answer obviously would be like the Lord has to heal you, but if there's like practical tips to come out of that on the other side.
Sure. So the term codependency has gotten kind of tossed around. And so it's easy to get confused or for it to be watered down. But really, I like to think of it as, you know, in my deepest, darkest codependent season, I was highly consumed and focused by other people's feelings, thoughts, and needs. So I did not mm-hmm. even know what I wanted for lunch. I mean, that's how detached from myself I was. I was very much whatever you want. And I was afraid. I was just a very fractured, wounded, scared young woman. And there's some signs that we can look for within relationships. You know, if you feel guilty taking care of yourself, if you feel, you know, bad for saying no, or you're unable to say no. A lot of the women I work with, they can't even say no. Like they're just crumbled by the weight of other people's, you know, expectations. If you find yourself like overwhelmed often, usually that's something to do with your schedule, like you're unable to kind of steward that time well. I don't trust myself is a big one. So if you're not able to make a decision without somebody else's input, that's a big sign of like codependency. Now, I'm not saying like, you know, wise counsel, like you to go to your husband mm-hmm. or you go to your like, that's important. We need wise people speaking and pouring into our lives. But, you know, if you're like of paralyzed and unable to make decisions. That's a big one. And you know, and when we're so hyper consumed by what other people need or want, we begin manufacturing ways of connecting. And that's where we see the pattern of codependency. I write about in my book that it just snowballs and we get further and further from who God created us to be and the purpose that he's placed in our life. Our assignment isn't to keep people whole. It's not to save people. It's not to fix people. Yeah. And so when we crave that connection and we start to get it through being codependent, then all of a sudden we're hooked in this dysfunction of, oh, I actually think I can do that for you. But
yeah,
if we're Christian, we know there's only one Messiah. So I'm not actually meant to be that.
Yeah. I mean, you hit the nail on the head with that. That's so beautiful. I think for me, it was, I couldn't make decisions with anything. And I didn't like being alone. I didn't like going places alone, like grocery stores, restaurants, coffee. I mean, and then I was like, it almost, when you get to the other side of it, it felt like I couldn't breathe. Like it was wild how that can do something so drastic to your physical body too. And so, it's beautiful hearing your professional like opinion on codependency and just even diving into that for a few minutes. One thing that I have personally noticed is that when someone hurts you again and again and again and again, you're just like, oh, well, this is just part of loving someone. This is part of being someone's friend. This is part of being a Christian. They're just going to walk all over us. Mm-hmm. But that's not the truth. Like, God also wants us to have healthy relationships and steward those well. And so to the person that is maybe in a situation where they're going into the holiday season and they're like, I'm going to have to be with that family member. It's going to be awkward. What am I even going to say to them? Like, is it going to lead to me crying? Is it going to lead to me having a panic attack? Like, if we're being real here, right? Like, those are very real scenarios. What would you say to encourage them that it's actually not okay that they're walking all over you, and you can have a little bit of a backbone here and you can implement new boundaries? It's not too late to implement them.
No, it's never, ever too late to start these new patterns of behavior in our relationship. I would really just get clear on what I call your non-negotiables. So let's just say, going to your example of like a holiday and you're around that difficult person. Well, there's a difference between a difficult person and a destructive person. And so we can learn to be in settings with difficult people when we know our limits. So a practical point may be like, you and your husband drive and you decide that by 7 p.m., maybe when the alcohol starts to get out of control, you're out. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you've pre-planned that, you know. Maybe there's certain, you know, topics that are just off limits for you and mm-hmm. you're not going to take the bait. And so it's really about personal responsibility and having that self-control, because we tend, when we don't have boundaries or when we're codependent, we tend to overreact or underreact. Yeah. And they're both very harmful. You know, the crying, screaming, hanging up the phone, slamming the door is just as destructive as the, you know, I'm going to swallow this, consume this, not deal mm-hmm. with this, and smile through it. And so being the nice Christian girl is not what we're called to do, you know. And again, biblically, we see that God is growing his children by confronting with both love and truth and grace. And so I think that we're kind of in this culture now where we're tiptoeing around each other and mm-hmm. we're not sharpening each other. And we're afraid because, you know, especially like in social media, like, you know, to be this, you know, acceptable Christian woman is a woman that's like, you know, just submissive and, you know, doesn't really have anything to say. And I think we're called to grow each other. Now, with that being said, that's not to say you go into, you know, Thanksgiving and Uncle Joe, like you're gonna, you know, you're gonna call him out. You know, we don't convict people. That's the Lord's work. And so I'm big on praying myself up before situations where I've seen time and time again, this certain thing play out. How can I best prepare for it? So, you know, let's just say you have to go by your in-law's house for the hour. There's just no way around it. And you want your kids to see your in-laws or whatever the example is. You know, you can pray yourself up. You can have those non-negotiables in your head. You can have the time that you're going to leave, and you can commit to that and not feel ashamed or guilty for that, because you know that that's the amount you can give of your best self. So sometimes boundaries are on ourselves and they're nonverbal. So it's a commitment to myself that I know. I had a client the other day. She said that her in-laws had offered their house for the holiday travel or whatever. And she declined because even though it seemed like helpful, she knows herself well enough and she knows that she needs to go home or go to the hotel or whatever and kind of reboot And so we need to be clear with ourselves on our limitations and not feel ashamed, because then we can actually love people in those difficult times that sometimes the holidays bring up.
That's so good. And it's just, I've got so many questions running through my head about this, because again, I said it's very fitting for my own personal life. But so let's say, you know, there's someone at a holiday get together and they haven't implemented those boundaries and something pops off and, you know, then there's arguments, there's disagreements, there's words being thrown across the table. What is the best way to either remove yourself gracefully? Mm-hmm. I say gracefully because we're called to steward that as a Christian, like even in those heated moments, or just shut it down completely. Like, how would you navigate that?
Well, you know, I think about in scripture, like when you were speaking, I, you know, and it's difficult because when our flesh is provoked, we want to lash out.
Yes.
We want to. And so I think having that self-control, which takes discipline, it takes, it takes that practice. But, you know, we read in scripture that, you know, that kind response, that quiet response turns away wrath. And so for me, I've been in situations like that. And I remind myself that somebody greater than me is going to battle for me in this, and that there's nothing I can say or do that maybe is going to hurt that person back or to get that person to see my point of view or to control the situation. What I can do is, you know, like you said, graciously, like, this isn't going to work for me. Because when emotions are high, our rational brain, we're actually unable to make rational decisions. And so when we're flooded with an emotion, the best thing we can do is hesitate in any situation. When we have patterns of behavior like codependency or even anger. So I'll be honest, anger has been something that the Lord has been working on in me over the last couple of years, that I realized anytime I felt like I was losing control, I'd get angry. And so for me, the most powerful thing, and I write about this in the book, is that I pause. I pause, and that almost nothing is an emergency.
Yeah, that's so good.
Yeah, and I think that the enemy likes us to think that everything is urgent, because he knows if we respond in urgency, we probably aren't going to be God-honoring, and that'll be the flesh responding. Yeah. And so, you know, if we know that if my flesh wants to lash out in anger, that conflicts with the spirit. So I need to pause on this, which, you know, it seems like doing nothing, but often the hardest thing to do is nothing.
Yeah,
is to pause. And so hesitating on that until the emotions die down, and then really considering in those heated moments, is this a relationship that I need to be returning to, pouring into, making sure that the spirit's leading you in that? But you're better able to think that through, you know, when you're not so mad.
Oh my gosh, yes. Or when you're, like you said, you pause, because it's very, very hard. I think everyone listening can say they've been in a situation like that where you either have or you haven't paused, and you either were glad you did or you regretted it. Mm-hmm. I think another thing that is very common during the holidays is, you know, when you've got the Holy Spirit in you, just because you do doesn't mean everyone in your family does. And that can also put a wrench in the spokes, right? Like, just the Holy Spirit in us irritates people that aren't living for the Lord naturally in the spiritual realm. And so they're all of a sudden, they just don't like you. They're everything you say is never good enough, kind of, you know, thing. And so maybe speaking into that situation, if someone's listening and they are walking with the Lord, they're living a Christ-like life, but their family is still living in the dark. Mm. What is the best way to just be there for them during the holidays or even any family gathering? And maybe even it's hard, right? Because you're sitting with people that aren't communing with the Lord. So it's automatically going to put you in a situation that's not God honoring. But just being the hands and feet of Jesus with boundaries, what would that look like? Like, is that not having certain conversations? Is that just being really quiet in the corner, which we know that's not the answer, but it could just make you feel really uncomfortable.
Sure. I think, you know, I think about early on, I've been a Christian for a really long time, but I've only started setting boundaries, as I said, in the last 10 years. And there's many people in my life that are not a Christian, and that they don't have boundaries. And so I'm daily being invited back into codependent or toxic relationships or mm-hmm. patterns, you know, cycles. So the invitation, yeah. it's always knocking at my door. So a couple things come up for me in that, and I'm trying to draw back on experiences that I've had where I've been in rooms and I'm like, I don't belong here. And the first thing that comes to mind is like, you don't want to be the only believer in a room. You know, we look yeah. at the disciples, like Jesus never sent out one guy by himself, yep. like ever. So, yeah. you know, there is power in numbers. Mm-hmm. You know, with that being said, I have just recently met with somebody that's a non-believer in my family, and we had lunch, and it was in a neutral setting, and I knew it was only going to be for an hour. And I had altered my expectations with this relationship. So I no longer consider this person who they are in my family, but I instead consider what you said, the hands and feet of Jesus, and how, Lord, my prayer driving there was, how can I serve you in this?
Wow.
So it's really a higher calling. Like, I think sometimes yeah. we look at the person and say, how can I get you to convert? Mm-hmm. But in reality is, how can I serve you, God, in this relationship yeah. and waiting for that response? Now, sometimes it may mean sharing of the gospel. Other times mm-hmm. it may mean listening to them and being patient and being those fruits of the spirit that we learn when Christ is in us, like we can exude that. But I think that it's really waiting for that invitation and being spirit led and knowing that we're never meant to walk out in this thing alone, yeah. you know, and that's because it's not a battle of flesh. It's a spiritual battle. And so yeah. there's reason why we get emotionally hung over for, you know, weeks and months mm-hmm. after having, you know, it might not be like you have an argument with somebody, but you're like done.
Yeah.
That's a spiritual attack. Like, you've been knocked down. And so I think that knowing that there's full reason why God said, you know, we have to have that armor on. We have to go in numbers. We have to be mindful that, you know, the enemy does want to kill and destroy, you know, and mm-hmm. and not be so passive to or naive to the idea that, oh, I'm just going to share with them about my Lord. Like, there's many more hurdles to that.
Yeah.
And so we have to wait to be invited in to people's lives. And sometimes that starts as simple as meeting them for lunch and talking about the weather. And yeah. you may never get to share with them about that. But going back to the boundaries thing, definitely like power in numbers. Don't think for one second that that if you put yourself in a situation that time and time again has revealed itself to you, so patterns repeat, mm-hmm. That it won't happen again. And how can you best yeah. equip yourself so that you feel safe in those situations?
Yeah, that's so good. Well, and it's, you know, it's not our job to convict. It's our job to love. And then also to the point where you said there's power in numbers. It's like the scripture in Matthew. I believe it's in Matthew. I'm so like, I'm the queen at like referencing scripture, but I cannot tell you where it is in the Bible. I'm always like, just check it for yourself. I think it's in Matthew. Where two or more are gathered, he is there. And there's power in numbers. And I've seen that in my own life where I will not walk into what I know to be a toxic discussion, a toxic conversation without my husband, because mm-hmm. he carries spiritual authority. Yes. And I think that's so beautiful that you said that. And just so wise for this time of the year, especially.
Well, and I'll share with you too, you know, sometimes loving somebody that we care about, like, so we're commanded to love, you know, that love from a distance thing. I know that it's like a slogan, but it's true. Sometimes I can mm-hmm. best love you by not spending Thanksgiving with you.
Yeah.
Sometimes yeah. I can best love you by limiting my exposure to you. Mm-hmm. And love, you know, does not mean I'm now going to remain passive to this dysfunctional behavior. And so if you go in a situation where morally as a Christian, you're no longer tolerant to that in yourself and in your close relationships, just because they're family, you are allowed to remove yourself from that.
Yeah.
You know, we yeah. are called higher. We're set apart in holiness. Mm-hmm. And so part of that, and I think a lot of times guilt or fear or shame keep us involved in the suffering of people we care about
yeah.
because we're we're staying passive to stuff. And so knowing in those moments that, you know, maybe going home for Thanksgiving is not the way I'm being called to love them. And only, you know, that's a conversation that you have to have with the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so beautiful. Wow. Well, I know we're trying to wrap this up because we both have a lot going on today, but where can everyone find you? You wrote a book. When does that release? I would love for you to share about that and give people information on where they can come connect with you.
Oh, yes, thank you. I did write a book, my book baby. It comes out December 12th. It's called Loyal to a Fault, How to Establish New Patterns When Loving Others Has Left You Hurting. And I share all about, you know, my discovery of boundaries and healing from codependency and how to be God-honoring in my relationships, even when it's not really what people expect or need, which is difficult. And that is, I guess, available for purchase anywhere. I'm starting to get used to that. Wherever books are sold.
It's probably weird to say that for your first book.
It is. It's really exciting. Cool. Yeah. My social is Courtney J. Berg and my website. So
awesome. Well, I will link everything down in the show notes if you guys are listening in and you want more information or you want to connect with her and buy her book. Thank you so much for being here, Courtney.
Thank you, Brittany.
I feel like I just learned so much. I truly believe that this just sets someone free, hearing that they have permission as a Christian to set boundaries with love. Personally, I've found that I can just love some people better from afar than up close, and that's okay. If you want more information on Courtney Berg, you can find it in the show notes below. I hope you all have a blessed Thanksgiving week, eat lots of yummy food, and above all else, give thanks to the Lord for everything He has blessed you with in life. As always, thank you for stopping in, and I'll see you in the next episode.
If you'd like to learn more about Brittany Dawn, you can find her personal platforms and ministry through the social links below. Thank you for listening in today. And remember, there's no depth that God will not go for you. His grace is sufficient, even here.